Well, let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to us tonight. Lord, I pray you give us hearing ears tonight, Lord, that we might truly obey you. I pray you give us, Lord, a willing heart, Lord, that we would just live out what you've told us to do. I ask for your help tonight in sharing this word, and I ask you, Lord, for good fruit, for a harvest from the seed of the word of God that accomplish all that you've sent it to do, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, tonight I'm just going to kind of take Sunday's message a little further, and we're going to talk about living out our love. I really feel like this is a message that the church needs to hear over and over and over. In this world, we need to be living out our love for other people. I'm telling you, more than anything else, you know what this world needs? Well, they need Jesus, but they need the church to live this message that we love others. So here we go. We're going to just pick up where we were Sunday morning. Matthew 22, 37 through 40, Jesus says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, Jesus says in Matthew 7 that if we hear his words and we do them, then we're like a wise man who built his house, or built your life, on a rock. And when the storms of life come, guess what? It'll stand. But if we hear his words, and tonight, what specifically, what words are we talking about? That you love your neighbor as yourself. If we hear his words and we don't do them, then we are like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, because when the rains, when the storms come, that life is going to come down. Now you can stand out in the storm and you can say, "But I go to church. I've been going to church for a long, long time, and every once in a while I even give him the offering." Won't matter. What'll matter is whether or not you did what Jesus said. So tonight, the focus is not on learning the theory of loving others. It is on living out our love for others. And we're focusing on that command to love your neighbor as yourself, because you know what? That's where we really struggle with the most. That's why 1 John tells us you can't say you love God if you don't love your brother. Because there's a lot of people that, you know, they say, "Well, I love God. It's the other people I got a problem with." In fact, there's a lot of Christians that won't even go to church for that very reason. They say, "Oh, well, I love God, but I can't stand those church people." They don't love church people. They can't stand them. Well, moving right along. But when it comes to loving others, I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of justifying and rationalizing that goes on. We talk about how they wronged us, or they don't deserve it. You know, they're not my brother. They're not my neighbor. You know, Jesus just messed that all up when he added love your enemies in there too. But I want to remind you of this verse. Also, James 1:22 says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Now listen, we got to apply this. When Jesus says, love your neighbor, he says, be a doer. James tells us very plainly, be a doer of the word. If you don't do it, you're deceiving yourself. I mean, it's bad enough when you get deceived by somebody else. But when you deceive yourself, well, that's just stupid. You're lying to yourself. When you know what the Bible says, and yet you fail to carry it out, that's just being stupid. And it's when we obey, it's when we do what he says, that's when the blessings come. this man will be blessed in what he does. That's James 1:25. But our love can't ever just be words. It can't just be theory. It has to be something that we practically live out in our life. We make it practical and we practice it in our life. Ephesians 5:1-2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. See, it's something we have to walk out every day. Not something we just think about or something we talk about, but something that we actually do. Not just intend to do, but we live it out. We walk it out every day. One more time with this verse. 1 John 3:18, let us not love in word or tongue, but deed and in truth. So that's what I'm going to do tonight, is challenge you to make it practical, to practice this every day in your life, that you live it out. And we're going to focus on that golden rule. That's what they call it. Actually, you know, even the world knows what the golden rule is. I mean, when you talk about the golden rule, everybody knows what the golden rule is. Now, there are some who have kind of changed the golden rule. They say, oh, well, the golden rule is the one with the gold rules. But everybody knows about the golden rule, that we're supposed to do to others what we would have them do to us. And before we really get into this, I want to add a little clarification here. It does not mean that you are to do to others always what they want you to do. I mean, if you have children and you apply it that way, you're going to be in a big mess, all right? In fact, there's a lot of areas of life that if you think that it means that you do whatever somebody else wants, you're going to be in a mess and they're going to be in a mess. But what it means is that if you were in their shoes, how would you want to be treated? If you were in their shoes, you know, when you truly have their best interest at heart and you truly do what's best for them, do to others what you would have them do to you. It's Luke 6:31, and just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. Matthew 7:12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And there it is again, where Jesus uses almost the exact same phrase after he gives the great commands, and he says, love your neighbor as yourself. He says, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. And then here, when he gives what we call the golden rule, and he says, do to others as you'd have them do to you, he says, on this hangs the law and the prophets. So you see, Jesus is telling us very simply how we can practically live out this command to love your neighbors yourself. You treat them the way you want to be treated. You do to them what you want done to you. Now, you know, there is a principle here that you don't do things to people that you don't want done to you, because the scripture does tell us that love does no harm to its neighbor. But the emphasis here in what Jesus says is it's what you do, that you have to do something, because I think a lot of the time where we miss it is we just nothing people. We don't do them wrong, we just don't do anything to them. And I'm not going to take 15 minutes to explain this and go into the Greek words and everything, but I'm just telling you, when you nothing people, that's hate. See, we have this idea that there's love and there's hate on these two extremes, and there's a whole lot of nothing in between, but that's not biblical. I said I wasn't going to get into that, so I'm not. But I'm just telling you, we can't just nothing people and say we're loving them. No, we got to do something. You have to do to them what you would have done to you. So, How do you want to be treated? You know, there's a thousand things that we could talk about, and so many scriptural things we could talk about, but I'm just going to hit a few that I think every one of us can identify with in some way. And here's the first one. Now, I've been talking about how it's not just something you say, but it's something you do. But I'm telling you, this is really important, and it does, when you look at it this way, it does come under the doing. Everybody likes to be spoken to kindly. Nobody likes to be yelled at and griped at, right? No, we all like for people to talk to us in a nice way. It's like the husband that he was supposed to pick up the dry cleaning on the way home, but he forgot. And so he gets in the door, and the wife says, "Where's the dry cleaning?" "Oh, I forgot." And she proceeds to yell at him and tell him all about how I was going to wear that tomorrow, and now you've messed up my plans, and why can't you just do this one thing right? And she just lets him have it. Is that the way you want to be treated? Or if she treats him the way she wants to be treated, she says, "That's okay. I can wear something else. I'll figure something else out. I understand. You were just wanting to get home to me." I'm just telling you, if we're going to love people, you got to speak nicely to people. You got to be kind in the way you talk to people, even when they're stupid. Right? Even when they're forgetful, even when they don't deserve it. That's what this is all about. Listen, if we're only going to love people when they deserve it, if we're only going to love people when they're good to us, Jesus says, how are you any better than sinners? No, we got to love them when they do wrong. We got to talk nice to them even when they do wrong. Treat them the way you would want to be treated if you were forgetful. And if you did something dumb, everybody likes to be spoken to with kindness. And everybody likes to be accepted. In Romans 15:7 in the NIV, it says it this way: accept one another just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. But you know, Jesus accepts every single one of us just as we are. You come to him, like the old song says, just as I am. But you know, a lot of the time, us believers get to where we put all kinds of standards on other people. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that we don't have values and we don't have standards, but I'm telling you, you came to Jesus just as you were. And you know what? We want to be accepted. We want other people to accept us. And yet, a lot of the time, believers can be the worst about telling other people, "Well, you got to come through my knothole before I'll have anything to do with you." And I'm just telling you, we can't go there. We got to accept others just the same as Jesus accepted us. And that's how, you know, we all want to be accepted for who we are. Now, that doesn't mean that we embrace somebody's faults or that we embrace their sin, but it means that just like Jesus accepted us, just as we are, we accept them just like we want to be accepted. Now, the New King James Version says, receive one another. Receive one another. Let me just put it this way. Everybody likes for other people to be glad to see them. Don't you like it when you walk in the door and somebody says, "Oh, I'm so glad you're home"? I like that. It's a whole lot better than, "Oh, you're home," right? Now, Leslie, she has this little brown dog. And when Leslie is coming in the door, that little brown dog stands at the door and whines and wiggles until she gets in the door. And she's so glad to see Leslie. And Leslie grins and smiles from ear to ear. But here's what I'm saying to you. We all like that. We all like to be treated that way, where we feel like, hey, somebody else likes me. And you know what? It's not just something that we should do at home. We ought to do that at church. We ought to do that everywhere we go. In fact, you might be surprised. Some of you that are in business, it might give your business a boost. Well, anyway, moving along. I'm telling you, everybody likes to be accepted. Everybody likes to be received. Everybody needs to be needed. 1 Corinthians 12:21 says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you." No, we all need each other in the body of Christ. But here's the point, though. Listen, all of us like to feel like we're important, or that we make a difference, or that we matter. None of us wants to be a nothing, a no count. And I'm telling you, sometimes people sideline themselves. I think in this generation, there's a lot of elderly people that sideline themselves. They say, oh, well, my day's over. It's time for somebody else. But you know what? We got to go out of our way to let those people know, no, you're wrong. We do still need you. And ever since I've been back at this church for 11 years now, I've been telling people, guess what? If you retired, we're calling you out from retirement. Sorry. You know, you're supposed to work till he comes or until you go, one of the two, but we need you. And here's the thing, though. We need to let, if you want to love people, you treat them like you need them. You let them know that they're important, that they're valuable. Another way that you can practically love people is just to treat them special. You know, we do this on Mother's Day. Some do it a little bit on Father's Day. But here it is, not just for mothers and fathers, but Romans 12:10 says, "Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another." Preference, special treatment. Now, who's this for? Well, anybody you want to show love to. Just treat them special. Honor them. Well, some people don't deserve honor. Well, I know the Bible says give honor to whom honor's due, but I also know that all of us, we like to be treated special. And what are we supposed to do? Treat others, do to others as we would have them do to us. So treat them special. Honor them. Here's another verse, Philippians 2:3. "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." Here's another one of those verses that just flies in the face of the attitude of the day. Esteem others better than yourself. Put them up. Build them up. Oh, no. Well, they'll get into pride if I do that. Listen, that's between them and God. Your job is to esteem others, to build them up. We all like that. We all like for somebody to say, man, you're looking good. How many of you ladies like it when somebody tells you your hair looks nice? Yeah, you do. Now, the guys don't really care much about that. I mean, as long as we have hair, we're happy, right? But when somebody says, wow, you're strong, we like that. Everybody likes to be esteemed. Everybody likes to feel special in some way. Everybody, and this kind of follows right along with it, but everybody likes to be appreciated. Nobody wants to be taken for granted. And I'm telling you, if you're going to live out your love, here's one of the best ways you can do it is appreciate people. Tell them thank you. Let them know that you really do appreciate what they do. Doesn't matter where you are, whether you're at church or you're at a business place or with your own family, acknowledge others' work, acknowledge their efforts, appreciate the good things they do, appreciate the good in them. See, we all like it when others appreciate that in us. You know, our nursery workers go in there and serve. And now I'm not criticizing, but I'm just saying a lot of churches have to pay nursery workers. And that just changes the whole dynamic, by the way. And I'm not going to get into all that, but I'm just telling you, it's a whole different animal when people go in there and do that just to serve the body of Christ and serve the Lord and serve the kids and serve the parents. And there ought never be a time that mom or dad goes to pick up that baby and not say thank you to the person who's been changing their diaper and cuddling them and rocking them and trying to keep them happy. Y'all hearing me? Wouldn't you want to be appreciated? Yeah, you would. That's how you show love, is by appreciating people. I know this is just really simple. It's just really practical. In fact, it's so practical, it's scary, because it's easy for us to say, oh, I love everybody, but we got to live it out. So here it goes. If you're going to love everybody, everybody likes for other people to care about them. We want to feel like somebody else understands when we're going through a hard time. Well, the Bible says in Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? This is my command, that you love one another. Here's one of the ways you practically live that out. You help people when they're going through a hard time. We all have those times when we need somebody else to help us. Everybody likes to be shown mercy. We all make mistakes. There's none of us that's perfect. Don't be the one who has to point it out. Don't be the one to criticize and to judge. Jesus says, the way you judge others, it's going to be judged back to you. James says, the one who judges will have judgment without mercy. Wow. No. Everybody likes to be shown mercy. When somebody else does something really stupid and really blows it, and what should you do? Show them mercy. That's what you would want. Treat them the way you want to be treated. In fact, you know, there's a verse that specifically deals with when somebody's really messes up, overtaken in a sin. It's Galatians 6:1. It says, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. You see, we're supposed to, if somebody made a mistake, I'm talking about if they really made a bad mistake, then we're supposed to restore them with meekness, with gentleness. Because if we don't, we're going to put our own self in the place of temptation. But I'm just telling you, what would you want done to you? When somebody else makes a mistake, you treat them the same way. Everybody likes to be forgiven. Don't keep a record. You know, it's amazing how strongly Jesus taught forgiveness. He talked about the one debtor, the servant, who owed a great debt, and he was forgiven that debt. And then he went out and he found a fellow servant who owed him a very small amount, and he had him put in prison. And Jesus said, will not that master come and straighten that guy out? And I'm telling you, when we don't forgive others, it puts something between us and God. God's going to deal with you. Listen, we got to forgive. How would you, when somebody wrongs you, well, if you were them, would you want to be forgiven? And Jesus says, do it 7 times 70 in one day. Forgive. At one time, Billy Graham had a weekly newspaper column where he answered questions that people sent to him. And one person wrote into him and said, my dad is dying and he wants to see me one more time, but he abandoned me when I was a kid. Why should I go see him now? And Dr. Graham said, what your father did was hurtful, and I can understand why you wouldn't want to go. He said, but put yourself in his shoes. That's the message kind of tonight, isn't it? Put yourself in his shoes. If you messed up your relationship with your family, wouldn't you pray for one more chance to make things right before you died? Wouldn't you want one last opportunity to say, I'm sorry? Wouldn't you want one last chance to be a blessing? So if somebody's wronged you, treat them the way you would want to be treated if you were them. Everybody likes to be treated nice. You know, some people are just grumpy and harsh and hard and difficult, and other people run away. Now, we all like for somebody to be nice to us, to be polite. If we're going to do this, if we're going to treat others the way that we want to be treated, we really do kind of have to put ourselves in their shoes, and we have to be thoughtful and considerate. We can't just think about ourselves and do this. There's no way. I'm telling you, if we're going to treat others the way that we would want to be treated if we were them, you're going to have to stop and think about it. You're going to have to be thoughtful and considerate. You're going to have to consider. If we're only thinking about ourselves, we'll never love our neighbor as ourselves. Philippians 2:4, let each of you look not only for his own interest, look out not only for his own interest, but also the interests of others. What does this person need? A kick in the seat of the pants. Well, but if we were in their place, we would probably be wanting a pat on the back instead. And guess what? A pat on the back sometimes works a whole lot better than a kick in the seat of the pants. But I'm telling you, you got to stop and consider and be thoughtful. If I was them, how would I feel? What would I need? What would help me? What would I want someone to do to me? I think one of the ways that Satan keeps us from fulfilling the command to love our neighbors ourselves is he makes us think that we're so busy, 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 running here and running there, and I'm busy, and I'm busy. I don't have time. If you don't have time to stop and think and consider, if I was them, how would I want to be treated? I'm telling you, you won't love your neighbor as yourself. You got to slow down. God will make time for you. It only takes a moment to stop and think. This is our rule to love by. To do to others what we want done to us. Amen. Well, stand with me. We're going to pray for just a minute, and I'm going to let you be dismissed. It is a miracle. Praise the Lord, we've made it all the way this far in the year. Hallelujah. All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the love that you have for us. And I pray, Father, that our love for one another would just become so real, so tangible. Lord, help us to express it and to show it to one another unashamedly. Lord, so much so that the world will see and know. And Father, that you'll be glorified in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I love you. Love one another as you go, would you? Lord bless you.